Stage Door listeners will remember that on our broadcast on Christmas night last, I broadcast greeting messages from many stage stars. But I was particularly proud of the fact that England's greatest comedienne had gone to the trouble of recording her words in Sydney, that we in Melbourne might hear her speaking to us. And tonight, I'm also very proud because I have Miss Cicely Courtnage with me to have a chat in this broadcast. Good evening, Miss Courtnage.
Hello, good evening.
It really is a very great privilege to have you with us. Mr. Walters, in a recent broadcast on this session, talked of the influence which visiting stars had to different countries. What are your reactions as our leading visiting performer here?
Well, my reactions are this. I've had a really wonderful, wonderful time over here. And it's been tremendously interesting meeting all the different people, you know. But people have been wonderfully kind. Fortunately, I got ill. And yes. During that time, you know, I sort of learnt more about people, I think, than if I hadn't been ill. They were wonderful. I met all sorts of people. People I met over in England. That amazed me anyway.
Yes.
The amount of people one meets from home, you know?
Yes, they get around.
Yes. The people I met during the war, who'd even seen me playing with my husband over there at that time. People who've been in the army, you know,
yes.
and all that. People from America. It's been most frightfully, frightfully interesting.
You must feel that you have a sort of international friendship somehow.
Well, I think I do now, you know. You never know these things, and then gradually something happens to make you realise, you know.
And turning to Under the Counter, I should like, if we may, to follow its history. How did Under the Counter really start?
How did it really start?
Yes.
Well, I don't think people really realise what an awful lot of work there is in a show. Now, we've been working, I say we, because not that I write, I don't, but my husband had been working with several authors for months and months, trying to get ideas, trying to do this, that and the other. And finally, they got an idea and submitted it to one of the other authors who at that particular time, Arthur McRae, I'm alluding to, was in the Air Force, and you know, it was frightfully difficult to get together even after the war because people were not demobilised. And we told him this final idea that they've been working on, and he sort of didn't like it. Well, that's hopeless. If your authors don't get together, then you may as well scrap it. And he came forward with an idea that he got, and it was the woman living in our times in England at the moment, and during that time. And, you know, you can't get anything in England unless you do a bit of wangling. I'm not going to say black market. It's not really black market. Of course, a lot of that goes on. But you can get nothing else unless you fiddle, you know?
Sort of know a friend who knows a friend.
Yes, absolutely. You've got to say, well, I think if I were to ask so-and-so, he might be able to do so-and-so. Well, if he doesn't, I know she will. It was one of those things. Well, he gave us this idea as a character for me.
Yes.
And we all jumped at the idea and scrapped the others, and that's how that started.
And how was the show written? Just as a straight play first?
Oh, well, it was, as a matter of fact, because it was my idea to give up all this character work. I don't always want to go on doing that. I've done that a lot, and I want to strike out on something fresh, something with more acting in and all that. And so he knew I had that idea, and he went away and wrote, we call it the first, wrote it without any numbers, or bar one number, I think it was.
Yes.
Well, then we went into a long discussion. We didn't think that was right. And my husband felt it would be very dull, so did I, with just one number. Then he sort of said, well, two numbers, and we thought that would be duller still, you know. And after working it all out a lot, we said, oh, well, we've got to have several numbers, and it's got to be worked in. And finally, we settle for, I think it is four numbers we've got in the show now.
Yes, and the setting, I understand that is a reflection of the Hulbert home.
Well, quite honestly, it is. I tell you how that came about. When he'd written the show, Arthur McRae, when he'd written Under the Counter, he'd written it in three acts, but all in the same setting.
Yes.
And that was another thing that I particularly didn't like. I thought it was dull in a show to go through, a show with numbers.
Just with one
setting.
Set.
And we tried to get ideas of changing the set, and he didn't think that was good. And then I said, well, why not make it the dining room? I said, after all, we rehearse in our dining room, or we rehearse in our drawing room.
You do rehearse in your own drawing room?
Oh, yes, no, definitely. Quite often. I don't mean it as a thing that one does with the chorus always, but, a lot of my rehearsals are done there at home.
And do you have girls moving the scenery?
I tell you when I used to do that. That was when I went overseas 3 years ago.
Yes.
I did that then because I couldn't get any rehearsal rooms or anything. I did it in my own home. Rehearsed nearly all the stuff for overseas in my own house.
So there's quite a lot of basis in fact, in
Yes, absolutely.
And the numbers, did you just sort of get the numbers and put them in, or did you try different numbers?
Well, we thought an awful lot of it, getting the ideas, you know. We knew the sort of thing. And then we had to build up after we'd got the ideas, after they'd been written. For instance, the Hungarian in this particular show.
Yes.
That was written as a dead straight number.
Dead straight?
Yes,
serious.
Dead straight, and it was meant to be dead straight.
Yes.
And then we built the comedy on top of it. Well, we took a lot of trouble over the lyric, you know.
Yes.
Tremendous amount of trouble. And you don't hear a word of it now. It's laughing all the time, thank goodness. But they are.
And then I suppose you tried it out outside London?
Yes, you always try shows out. We were 3 months on this one.
3 months?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did it run when it first opened?
2 years, just on 2 years.
Just on 2 years, mm-hmm. So that it's actually about 3 years.
Yes, very nearly 3 years since we opened the show.
And the thing that amazes me, you've been working it for 3 years, and yet I've seen the show 3 times, and I'm going again tomorrow night.
Lovely. Good.
And there's no hint of staleness.
Oh, that's the nicest thing you could have said. It really is.
Well, how do you keep that fresh approach?
Well, first of all, it's your job, you know.
Yes.
And therefore, you mustn't be stale in your job. And I don't think I ever get stale, but I get a little, I feel it tremendously if the audience isn't good. Let's put it that way. Not stale, but I get a little down. I don't get the reaction from an audience. If I don't, then I can't respond in the same way.
No, naturally. Do you vary your performance from time to time?
Well, a lot of people think I do. In fact, I'm sure I do. Yes, I do.
And do you think that the Australians were pretty quick in picking up the sense of the situations in Under Your Hat?
I do. I think you know all about it here, you know. I really do, yes.
You are one of our favourite recording artists, as you well know, because I know people have asked you, have you got those napkins?
Yes.
Dinner napkins, did you find that a very difficult job?
Oh, shocking. Absolutely shocking. You know, some things are very, very difficult to learn, but dinner napkins was difficult because if ever you were to see a script of that, you will find that none of the words mean anything.
No.
So it's terribly hard to memorize. It's frightfully hard to read, but when you come to try and memorize words that don't mean anything, it's pretty nigh impossible, you know. Oh, it's
well,
awful.
I don't know how you got through it. And how about laughing gas, for instance?
How do you mean, how about that?
Well, was that very exhausting?
Very. Yes, that is a very extraordinary thing, to laugh, to order, unless you're in the mood. I mean, if you don't feel well, or you're depressed, or the audience doesn't respond, or anything like that. You know, it really is real, real hard work. You must try it sometime.
No, thank you.
Try and do that.
I'll just listen to your records. And now, there's one story which I've told of a command performance during the season of Under Your Hat.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you'd tell us about it.
Oh, that was wonderful, that was. Well, that was an enormous party. It was given by the King and Queen for the French Premier and his wife, you
yes.
know. And it was given at the Foreign Office.
Yes.
And all the royal family were there, and everybody, not just the royal family, but diplomats, everything. It was done on the most amazing scale. It was simply wonderful. All had their tiaras on, you know, and all that. Anyway, they gave a special performance, and Jack and myself were two of the performers. And we went there. We rang up the show early in the evening,
yes.
and the audience were told about this. And it was given over the air that it would be earlier because we were going to this command performance at the Foreign Office. And we finished, we played, and had to dress very, very quickly,
yes.
all new clothes, great excitement.
Yes.
And then we shot right past the lights, went right through.
All the traffic was stopped, held up for us,
as we went through to get there. And as we got there, we walked right on, you know, to time, everything
yes.
with royalties, absolutely time to the minute.
Mm.
Well, we played, and it was the most wonderful show. I can't remember all the artists who were there then. And then after, we were invited, the whole lot of us upstairs, and we went up and mingled with everybody, you know. Well, everyone was there, Churchill, Chamberlain, the whole lot were there.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
When was the first time that you appeared before royalty?
The first time I appeared before royalty, well, that was another command, well, not exactly a command performance, but it was given by Lord and Lady Lonsdale at the Diamond Wedding.
A Diamond Wedding?
Yes.
Mm.
And they gave a tremendously big party, at least I said tremendously big party, a big one.
at Carlton House Terrace, and they gave a cabaret, which about 8 artists were invited to perform. Jet Buchanan was one, I was one, I can't remember offhand all the others.
Yes.
And we went and performed and did our songs and dances in a very big drawing room.
And it must have been a very intimate sort of...
Very, very intimate. It was quite different to the Foreign Office. But just the royal family were there, and Lord and Lady Lonsdale's own family. It was simply lovely. They were sitting about in big armchairs. The King, the late King, smoking a cigar, Queen Mary. But the whole lot were there, Prince of Wales and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was a wonderful evening. And we were given, the artist who appeared, a little diamond brooch. The women got brooches with a little crown on the top and everything and the initials. It was really lovely. I've still got that.
Yes.
That was the first time.
And now, excluding present company, that being under the counter, which show would you say is the most memorable?
Well, I suppose, really, Under Your Hat, really, for a lot of reasons, because it was the first time Jack and I had played together for about 10 years in a show, because he'd been doing films.
Yes.
And I had, but I had done a show anyway before that with Bobby Howes. But we came together after that break, and therefore there was tremendous enthusiasm. On the first night they had the television out, and great excitement was took place that night, televising people coming in, and it was a really wonderful time. And then, of course, war was declared during that run.
Yes.
So I think that was one that I shall remember always, because it was so successful.
I believe that on one occasion a cat came on stage during a performance.
Yes.
I think every artist has a tale about an animal that's come on stage. Could we have yours?
Well, I have had animals come on before, but this was rather an extraordinary thing in a way. I was singing a very straight song. I have recorded that. I quite honestly don't think it's very good, but I have. It's called Home is the Place Where Your Heart Is, which I think it's the most lovely, lovely song. And I did it during the war, during the Blitz. And 9 times out of 10 when I sang this song, the warning used to go off. And the guns. It's a very, very quiet, straight song. And I was in the middle of this. You could hear a pin drop in this particular night. Yes, the warning had gone, but they weren't busy upstairs. And I was singing, I heard a lot of... And I thought, now what is going on behind my back? It's a straight song. I was trying, you know, breaking my heart during this. And then it went on and on. I heard an awful lot of shuffling. And I thought, now wait a minute. I'm sure it's a cat. And I couldn't look round. No. I couldn't crack any gags or anything, because it wasn't that sort of song. It was dead straight. I was trying to make the audience cry.
Yes.
And then I was sure it was a cat. Now in this song, when I say, hello, Ginger, alluding to the cat, I thought, now I'll turn. I know it's there, at the corner of my eye, I could sort of see, you know. Mm. I will turn, and it'll come most beautifully into the song, you see. And I was just going to say, hello, Ginger, and as I turned, a stagehand just grabbed it and took it off. Well, I don't have to tell you what happened. That was the end of the song, and I had to finish it and come off. I never finished the song itself, you see. That was certainly what happened that night.
That must be one of your most dreadful moments.
Well, it was rather. It's because, you know, when you're trying to be serious and that happens, it's not very easy.
No. And your future plans?
Well, when I finish here, I'm going to New Zealand. And I don't know when or how long I'm going to be in New Zealand as yet. I shall know within the next week. And then I'm going home to do a new show, which Jack is preparing for me, and the author's over there.
It's being prepared.
Oh, yes.
And you'll go straight into rehearsal.
Yes, I'm going straight into rehearsal the first week in the new year.
First week in the new
year?
Well,
first week after Christmas.
Yes. And do you think you'll be doing any more films?
Well, I don't know. I may, but I rather doubt if I should be doing that. Jack is. He's going to do one.
Yes.
But then he's very keen on films.
It must be very hard to be funny very early in the morning.
I simply can't do it. I really can't. Well, I'm not used to it, I suppose, and I find it difficult without an audience. That's the main thing, you know.
Yes. Well, I can see that your time is running away, and I'm afraid I'll have to let you go, much as I hate it, because I have enjoyed this chat. I do feel that our stage door people feel that they know you quite a lot better, and it's been a great privilege to have you on this broadcast.
Well, it's been lovely coming. And thank you very, very much. Goodbye.